Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kudyk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled The White Deerskin Dance.
White Deerskin Dance. Toward the end of the white deerskin ceremonies, when the Fetuinen is standing on a small rounded rock just up from the dancers, he throws his medicine to Offield Mountain, and I have to break it so that some of the medicine will fall down on the people and the rest will go to the mountain. That was my job. That's what I was trained to do. Don't ask me how I break it. Don't ask me how I know it's coming. It's like a shockwave, and I just look at it and break it. And it looks to me like fireworks dropping down on the people. I see this, but I don't think other people do. The medicine people in charge of the dance placed me kind of off to the side where I couldn't see what the medicine man was doing. That's why I say being the Fetuinen's woman is easy, because all I have to do is break the medicine when the medicine man throws it and make the dance a happy place. Sometimes when the Fetuinen throws his power, it almost knocks you over. Other times it's like somebody skipped a rock across a pond. So I guess it depends on how much power a person has picked up or how much natural ability they have. When Kogi threw his medicine toward Offield Mountain, he did not see me shatter off a piece. He said he feels the medicine going down his arm like a shockwave when he throws it, like a gun kicking back at you. I told him that it feels like a shock to me to break a piece of it off. I just look at the medicine when he throws it, and a piece of it comes off, and it looks like fireworks falling and sprinkling down on the dancers. When you see the fireworks break off the medicine, when the medicine man has thrown it, then you know you've done it. You've taken a piece of the medicine. According to Millie, there are people who live in this world who can see what you're doing when you do these medicine things. She said most people can't see you are doing anything, but there are other people who can stand back and see what you're doing. She didn't know if these people could pick it up and do it too after watching you make medicine. She said that to most people, it won't look like you're doing anything except making a little fire, and they can't see what's going on. But there are these other people who can see the medicine being made and how it happens. That's why the medicine people are always so careful not to do something in front of anyone, unless it's one of those times when you're supposed to do it in front of people, like when I break the medicine at the White Deerskin Dance. I told her that they were doing better than me because I don't know how it happens. Kogi did really well at being the medicine man, but it kind of knocked him off center mentally for some reason. I don't know why. I think maybe because his wife had left him and taken the children. He wasn't stable enough to go through that demanding ritual. He did well at being a Fetuinen, but there's no standard. You just have to be from one of the medicine families, and how far you go with being a Fetuinen and how deeply you are enmeshed with the power of the Creator depends on the person. You can just kind of skim along with the medicine, or you can go very deeply into it. He did really well at actually making the medicine, but it knocked him off balance. His psyche was too fragile to put that much out. I told Kogi that he didn't have to be a Fetuinen to become a medicine man. All you have to do is get your thoughts together and go up the mountain. Take one of your relatives with you and make that commitment and dance on Dr. Rock and stay up there in Elk Valley for a couple of weeks and stay on Dr. Rock for 3 days. That's all you have to do, and you'll be a full-fledged Indian doctor. Nobody can stop you from doing that because you have that gift and you come from a medicine family. No one can tell you that you can't do that. Then you can do personally whatever you want to do with that power of being an Indian doctor. but you will pay for everything you do with that power. So you have to be very careful that you don't use too much of it for yourself or your family. You have to spread your power and your gifts and your healing around. So now the ball is in Kogi's court, and what he does with it is up to him. The choice is always yours, but if you don't pick up your medicine and powers, you pay for it. When Kogi was the Fatewinen for the White Deerskin Dance, his mother, Bivai, was his cook. And Summer, the medicine man's little girl, was Bivai's helper and cooked for her. Summer fed Bivai and made sure her meals were ready so that too many people were not touching her food. She told Bivai, "I can do it for you." She'd heard Bivai say that she had to find someone clean to do this. "I told Bivai that I couldn't do it because I had promised to help with the cooking." Little Summer was standing there listening to what we were saying. She was about 7 years old. She brushed her hands off on her clothes and said, "My hands are clean." I laughed and told Bivai that you can't find anyone cleaner than that. Not only clean, but innocent. So Summer helped Bivai. She was very good about it. She was there for Bivai every instant, making sure that she was fed and that nobody touched her plate. When Summer had to leave early, she had the plate all made up and covered up, made sure that someone would give it to Bivai when the time came. Kogi said that when he was on the trail, it was getting kind of late, and he kept hearing me talking to him, saying, "You better hurry along now. You better come out of there. You better hurry along. It's going to be late. Come on. Come on along now." He said because of hearing my voice, he got down the hill by 2:30 in the afternoon, and he would have had plenty of time to make medicine for the fish before it got dark. He said he could hear me the whole time, like I was standing there talking to him, or like there was a little radio in his head saying, "Come on now, hurry along." I think that if you're going to be a medicine person or an Indian doctor, sometime before you are 40 years old, you should have gone out and made your statement and made your adjustment to life that you have to make. That means you have to start living so that people will believe in you. You have to live an exemplary life. You have to live conservatively. You don't have to really live with one person, but if you do, it's better. If you can find someone who is stable enough that they can put up with your disappearances, you just disappear. You're not here, and they can feel you're not here. If they are close enough to you, they can feel that you are not on this earth. Even though your body is still here, you're not. I think the body is still here. If it is with me, it isn't me. It doesn't look like me. I know that much. If a person is close enough to you, they will realize that you're not here. You're gone. I always tell people that I must have been to St. Elsewhere.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is the last one. It's titled Endings. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Lura Cooper.